And this is part of a collaboration. We call it SWMPY. It has a triple meaning. SWMPY, the acronym, is Southwest Assisted Migration for Endangered Populations Initiative. But also, Western Swamp Tortoise nickname is SWMPY, and also they live in swamps. So we have a triple meaning there. Our aim is to develop this science-based framework for selecting where future translocation sites should be. And our innovations really are about focusing on the underlying physiology and the habitat dynamics of hydrology. I'll just quickly go through Western Swamp Tortoise just to give you some quick background. Basically, there's only 50 to 100 left in a couple of sites on the Swamp Coastal Plain. Because of climate change, swamps are filling up later for shorter periods, and it's impacting their recruitment, and they're becoming critically endangered. As a candidate for assisted migration, it satisfies all the key attributes. Very restricted range. It's not able to disperse. It's not going to evolve to the situation. Climate shift is towards lower rainfall. There's a captive source population, which is an example over here. This is in the Perth Zoo, where they have quite a sophisticated captive rearing program. And there are examples previously where it has been translocated successfully. One of the key points is it has this summer excavation and it needs standing water, and so it has this intimate dependence on the hydrology, which is what I'll talk about in a moment. The hatchlings must reach a critical weight to survive their first estivation, and so this is a critical threshold that we have in designing a suitable site or choosing suitable sites. There was a release earlier this year, and this was up in Moore River, so north of Perth and north of their current range. And basically, this was a translocation that has already failed. It didn't last very long. Basically, as I said before, 2010 was a terrible year for rain, and it still is. And the animals have already been returned back to the zoo. So the question is, well, rather than take an ad hoc approach like that, can we take a bit more of an integrated approach? And therefore, how do we choose a better site? Now, we can use what we call the climate envelope models, basically look at patterns of past distribution and stick them somewhere where we think they would likely have been before, and hope they can successfully continue. The other problem we have, though, with the tortoise is they don't have any distribution other than one current site. So we have no empirical data with which to guide future sites. So our approach was to come up with mechanistic models, so basically from first principles, to quantify functional response to changes in the environment using energetics as a currency, and also linking it with habitat through hydrology. So basically we're looking at how the environment through the water regime and microclimate impacts on body temperature and energy balance. I'm just conscious of time, so I'll be happy to take questions later. I'll just run through this quickly, though. One of the first things we need to do a mechanistic model is come up with some experiments where we characterise a physiological response. And here's an example where we've worked with the team to look at the physiological changes to the tortoise under different water temperatures. So here's a nice example of where we look at hatchling weight increasing over time in different temperature water. Okay, and this is a classic sort of animal physiology study. And basically we have this critical threshold here, which is 18 grams, and this is what is thought to be critical for them to survive into the next year. So by raising the water 2 degrees, we can see there's a change in the time it takes to get to critical mass. However, we have another feedback, which is, of course, the changing rainfall regimes, the changing the wetland hydrology. So here we can build a hydrology model and basically link key outputs from the hydrology model, in this case things like soil moisture, period of inundation, what we call the hydro period, and link that back to habitat properties that drive the energetic budget. So basically we know food is linked to the period of inundation, and so we can link this back to how much energy the tortoises will have available to them. We can also drive these models with climatic information either observed or from global climate models. So this is an example of this output. We call this our screening stage. This is, we've termed a quanta term tortoise happiness index, which is basically just where the energy budget is greater than zero. And so this is not actually for the tortoise. This is, we haven't got this far yet. This is just an example of what we're envisaging we will get out of the linking the two approaches. So this doesn't tell us, though, about anything other than where potentially the wetlands, if they were there, would be suitable. The reality is we have site-specific problems, and we need to consider site-specific conditions. Here's an example of where we can actually use detailed eco-energetic budget of a particular site to look at different how energy is allocated within the organism. So example here is how the tortoise allocates its energy on a wet year versus a dry year, and you can see in a dry year they allocate less energy to reproduction. To do this, we use what's called dynamic energy budget. I can't go into the details. It's basically a bunch of mathematical equations where we add stuff up and subtract energy sources and sinks. And it's a function of the state of the individual, whether they're young or old or what sex they are. And it's a function of the state of the environment. So we link to the environment by running our hydrology. This is now a detailed hydrology model. So we've looking at an example here where we're actually running a spatially resolved hydrological model. And this is the... Sorry. Pressing the wrong button. This is the wetland habitat here. This is a Class A deck nature reserve where the tortoises live at the moment. And basically what we can do is look at patterns of soil moisture and inundation and use this information to link to the bioenergetic, the energy budget model, and then come up with patterns of growth over defined periods. It's a bit hard to tell from back there, but what we've actually done here is run scenarios where you have different hydro periods of water, which is this blue band. It's a little bit hard to tell, but you can see there's differences in the growth and respiration rate, or the consumption and production of energy by the tortoises under the different hydrological regimes. So we have a program to validate the models against environmental and biological data, including growth rings from the tortoise shells. And so I'll just finalise to summarise where we're at. Basically, this is a project which is a whole bunch of people from animal biology and environmental science. One is Sophie Arnold, she's doing a PhD with Nikki, and another is Hassan Tariq, who's doing his PhD with me. And we have two avenues to the project where we're running different complexity models, a simple model for screening, complex model for detailed habitat analysis and selection, and then finally we integrate with climate scenarios and so on and select optimum translocation sites in the future. So basically, just to summarise, our goal is really to solve the where of the assisted migration. So we talk about, yes, we can do a translocation, but the fundamental question is, yes, but where do you put them? And hopefully we're trying to develop a couple of science-based tools that will help us have some confidence in where to put them. So that's all for me, and thanks for your attention.